relationship and alliance. Okay? Everybody got that? So there's this relationship between the Israelites and Gibeonites. There's some other nations that get upset or are threatened. Come on, fix this for me, please. There's some other nations that are threatened by this relationship. So they decide to attack the people of Gibeon. The Gibeonites call up the Israelites and say, "We're about to be attacked. We need your help." Okay? And so the Israelites get involved and they start coming to the aid of the Gibeonites. Go up to chapter 10, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. So after Joshua and the Israelites get the word that the people of Gibeon need their help, verse 7 says, "So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you.'" Okay, so what does Joshua do? Verse 9. They marched. How long?
All night.
They marched all night. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road. So although they are defeated, it's still some of the lives, so they keep fleeing them, fleeing after them, should I say. Verse 11, as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azazah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Okay, so the battle is still going on. And then the narrator goes to another moment within the battle, verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. People. Verse 13, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself from its enemies, as is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Now, having heard that, I simply want to ask you one question. What does it mean to say that our prayers are not just answered in accordance with our faith, but also in accordance with God's purpose? Let me ask you one more time, because people, I'm telling you, this is crucial to our prayer lives, that prayers are not just answered in accordance to our faith. What does it mean to say that our prayers are not just answered in accordance to our faith, but in accordance to God's purpose? So I pray. So I go to the hospital, right? And I'm praying over the sick. And I'm praying that God would heal and restore this person to health. And I'm praying in all faith. Is the answer to that prayer only dependent on how much faith I have? What else enters into the picture? The purpose, I want to use the purposes of God for a moment. The purpose of God. So what does it mean to say then that our prayers are not just answered in accordance to faith, but also in accordance to the purpose of God? What is it? That's the first question. The follow-up question to that is, why is that important to know? we'll link it back to this text. That first question, anybody want to take a stab at that? What does it mean to say that our prayers are not just answered according to, in accordance to our faith, but also according to the purpose of God? God was going to do it anyhow. Okay. Somebody say more. What does it mean to say that God answers prayers not just in accordance to our faith, but in accordance with, to God's purposes? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so let's go back to the first thing you said. To say that God answers prayers, not just in accordance to faith, but in accordance to God's purposes, is to say first and foremost that the answering or how God answers my prayers is more about God than about myself. Okay, look at this particular passage. The Bible says here, verse 14, that it was a day when the Lord listened to a human being. To whom did God listen? Joshua. And what was it about Joshua's prayer that caused God to listen to it? That it was lined up with God's purpose and God's glory. Well, it was lined up with God's purposes and God's glory. When I say God's purpose and God's glory, what was God's purpose in this passage? To do what now? To defeat the enemy. And how do we know that? That's what he told him. Where did he tell him? In my Bible, it's verse 8. You have a different version over there. What's it say, verse 8 again? Do not be, the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them. I had given them into your hand. I've already given the enemy into your hand. So when Joshua prays, son, stand still, why would God honor that prayer? And first of all, why is Joshua praying, quote unquote, that the sun would stand still? So he can see and able to finish out the battle. Okay, he needs some light. All right. And once more, like I said on Sunday, I'm not sure from an astronomical perspective and from a cosmological perspective, I can't explain what happened in terms of the phenomenon of the church, the sun stopped. And really, I don't even think that's the point. The point is God intervened in order to reverse the law of nature so that his children could fulfill his purpose. His purpose was to defeat the enemy. So what's his name? Joshua is aware of God's purpose. When Joshua is aware of God's purpose, listen to me, y'all, because this will change our prayer lives. He prays in accordance with what God has already revealed. And what has God revealed? That he's going to defeat the enemy. So when Joshua prays, son, stand still, there's a good chance that that prayer is going to be answered. Now, the other thing is, God answers prayer not just according to God's purposes, but also according to God's glory. And what do I mean by that? I'm just like you. When I pray, I want God to answer prayers according to what's going to be good for me. Wouldn't that be cool, right? Just God just answered his prayer And what, at least what I think. Lord, I'm praying for this new job. Anybody here ever pray for a new job? For a promotion? God, that position is a position that I, and there's nothing wrong with praying about that. Because, what's his name? Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in him and he'll bring it to pass. Okay, so if I'm praying for this new job, Lord, bless me with this new job. I want it because, one, I'm going to make more money. Two is what I really want to do. Three, I'm tired of doing what I've been doing. Okay, I feel like this is just going to bless my, put me on the pathway where I want to be, where I want to go. Okay, so Lord, bless me with this job. I want the prayer answered according to what's good for me. But maybe what's good for me is not what's going to bring God glory at that moment. And so what might bring God glory at that moment may mean, I mean, don't get it wrong. Sometimes it's the same thing. What's going to bring God glory and what's good for me, sometimes they line up with each other. Okay? But in this text, I believe God does not answer the prayer in simply what's going to be good for Joshua. But God answers the prayer according to what's going to be good for the name of God. Because I mentioned on Sunday that when Joshua asked the sun to stand still, that was a great prayer request. Because the enemies that they were fighting were people who worshiped the sun. For them, the sun and the moon were kind of godlike. They were gods and they worshiped them. So when Joshua says, Lord, I need you to stop the sun. By God stopping the sun, what was God doing? Showing what? That God was greater than what they had been worshiping. So in the end, who would get the glory? Joshua who prayed the prayer, or God who answered the prayer? It'd be God who answered the prayer. So there are times when what I pray for lines up with what God desires. So, as I've said a million times, real prayer is not trying to bend God's will, but it's trying to blend with God's will. Write it down. That effective prayer does not seek to bend God's will to my will, but to blend my will with God's will. Yes, sir. Talk. That's a great question. The question was, well, how do you know God's will so you can try to blend with it? Well, let me put it like this. There are times when I pray that I'm clear on what God's will is. And there are times that I pray, for instance, before I've started tithing, you know, started making a little something, working summers, construction with my dad's construction company, and I got started getting a little check, $125 a week. Can you imagine that? In 1982, about 17 years old, what, $125? And my dad taught me to give 10% to the church, to God. How much is 10% of $125? Now when he was giving me a few dollars to give in church, oh, that was easy. But then he said I had to tithe off of that right there. Well, I said to myself, I have to pray on it. I had to pray on that thing. And, you know, and the thing is, Malachi 3:10-11 says, bring the full tithe to the storehouse. So in that case, what was the will of God was clear. Because it's revealed in the word. That was easy. There are other, now, I had, even after I knew that, though, I kept praying. You know, you pray a long time sometimes when you know the answer. Anybody ever done that? You waiting for God to change his mind or something. Can we take it down to 5%, God? I was negotiating. And I think I heard God say to me, well, if you're having a hard time tithing off of $125, well, then I can make it where tithing is easy for you. You'll catch it on 287. Where if it's easier for you to give a dollar a week, oh, I can make it where you can. So you keep making more money, and tithing gets more difficult. The Lord said, okay, no problem. I can take you back down where tithing is real easy for you. So anyway, in that case, it's clear. But what about when it's not that clear? What about when it's not that clear? Like, again, let's go back to me praying about this new position, this new job. And I'm not sure if it's God's will that I get this job, or praying about this new land we were looking at. Just kind of unclear. So what I do is, after I pray my desire, God bless me with this new job. Included in that prayer, I will make room for God to be God by saying, Lord, I really want this thing, but I just pray that your will be done in this situation. In a way, that's me blending with God's will. Same thing if I'm going over to pray over the sick in the hospital, kind of same thing. You know, I can speak with authority and speak with confidence. God, I know you're able to come and bring healing to this situation. So what I often pray, and if you're praying over the sick, for those who do visiting, you know, you don't have to be so, you don't have to pray, Lord, let your will be done right now. And you know what I mean? If it's your will that this sister's not healed, okay, Lord, you don't have to voice that. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to hear that. For real? You know, I want you, don't you come back and pray for me no more. You send somebody else. All right? But I tell you what I will do in those prayers. I will say, Lord, heal according to your purpose. Yep. And even sometimes I'll apply the same thing to myself with my own struggles, sicknesses, whatever. If I'm just dealing with something, Lord, heal according to your purpose. I know you're able. I'm not questioning your ability right now, but I just want to make sure that this prayer fits into your purpose. So, long way of answering that question is sometimes when it's clear by the word, and sometimes God's will becomes progress. Sometimes God's will is immediately clear. Sometimes it's progressively clear. Okay? Because I'm a believer that God wants you to know his will as badly as you want to know it. Okay, sir. Sure. You know, sure. You pushed your way through the door. Sure. Sure. So, okay. So let's begin to tie up this principle. Joshua prays, sun stand still. He can be confident in claiming that kind of prayer and praying that kind of prayer, because he feels like he's in line with God's revealed purpose. So then, one of the hardest things for me to grasp is that God doesn't just answer prayer according to my faith. Now, faith is big. Oh, yeah. Because Jesus does say, according to your faith, be it unto you. So faith and God's purpose kind of work together. But there are times where, I said these three things in a sermon that I did in Matthew, that number one, sometimes God answers prayers in accordance with faith. Number two, sometimes God answers prayer in spite of the absence of faith. And then sometimes God doesn't answer a certain prayer the way we want it, despite the presence of faith. You missed that. Can I say that one more time? That's a nice little skeleton there. That sometimes, number one, God answers prayer in accordance with faith. Sometimes God answers my prayer in spite of my faith. Isn't that a blessing? Third thing is sometimes God does not answer my prayer, at least my way, despite the presence of faith. Because at that point, his sovereignty, his purpose wins over even my belief and faith. And we ought to be grateful for that sometimes, because if God gave you everything that you prayed for and believed him for, it could have been real destructive. So what I have to do in the answer, in God answering prayer, is to trust God's purpose when it comes to answered prayer. So what's the conclusion of the matter? The conclusion of the matter is to try to pray in accordance with God's revealed word. Now how do you know God's revealed word? You got to expose yourself to it. You got to expose yourself to it. If you don't believe me, let's close with this last scripture reference, cross reference, John chapter 15. John chapter 15 as a cross reference from the Joshua. Wait a minute, where is it? Verse 7. We've kind of looked at this before. John 15, verse 7. What's it say? See, what I've done in the past is I've just leaned on the second part of that verse. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Because that's the part I always heard quoted. So I can ask whatever I will. I have whatever I want. And I'm going to have it. But verse 7 says something else there, right? If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you'll ask for whatever you want, and it shall be done. Right. And herein, in this, is my Father what? And so the prayer is answered for the sake of God's glory. Yeah. Thank you. And so the point is, if I abide in Christ and his word abides in me, I'm only going to ask for what he's already revealed in his word. And so if I say, son, stand still, and it's in accordance with the promise he already made, it's going to stand still for that particular moment. Okay. And that goes for whatever. So I would advise you and encourage us to be as in touch with this as possible and start praying the promises that are revealed in Scripture. Start praying those promises, knowing those promises, and trust that God will answer according to his own glory. Okay, that's it. Just wanted to share that principle on tonight. I want to share that. Is there a copy? There's copies of this on each table? We're ready to go. Good to have your attention, please, as we're ready to go. On your table, it's a real important survey that takes literally 30 seconds to fill out. And it's, do you see this? How many of you, if you haven't filled this out, please do before you leave. Which communication tools do you prefer to keep you informed of upcoming ministry events? We just need to know so we can kind of honor that and be effective. If you've never done this, please do this and then do what? Leave it on the table? Yeah. Just leave it on the table. Thank you much.